Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Sleeper, awake! Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a sip here. All right, I want you to try and finish this jingle. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to spare you on that one. But just finish this line. The best part of waking up is... Now, if you've been to Sunday school, you know that the correct answer to everything is Jesus. Shouldn't Jesus be the best part of waking up? I'm kidding. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Many of us remember that commercial. And whether you drink Folgers in the morning, specifically that brand, it may not be that, but maybe it is, for many of us, a warm cup of coffee or tea, maybe even a Diet Coke or an iced tea or a refreshing glass of cold water. I don't know, but for many of us, it is one of those things that is what gets us out of bed in the morning. The smell of coffee brewing, even the sound of it brewing, the sense of the warmth, especially in the winter, the warmth of the mug in my hands, the feeling of that warmth or that refreshing cold going into my mouth and down my throat, the taste, the caffeine. You don't have to feel guilty if that is what gets you out of bed in the morning. If you need that cup of coffee or tea to get going with your day, I don't want you to feel guilty about that this morning. And even if it's easier for you to get out of bed for a cup of coffee than it is for a nice, quiet time of prayer and scripture with Jesus, I don't want you to feel guilty about that this morning. What I want to do is talk about how that can be a part of our embodied spirituality, our spirituality in the wild. We've been talking about how spirituality isn't just this thing for church buildings or for special times and places, but that spirituality is something that should impact us and should be something we're participating in every day, with every breath even. And so I want to suggest that as we have our eyes, the eyes of our bodies opened in the morning, as we wake up to the world and to the tasks and the struggles and the lists and the worries of the day, that moment can also be a time where we ask God to open the eyes of our hearts to what God is doing in us, around us, and through us in that day ahead. And really, that is what the book of Ephesians is all about. Not the coffee or the tea, of course, but having our eyes open. And so I want to give us a quick flyover of the book of Ephesians to show you what I'm talking about, and then talk about how our morning coffee or tea can be a sacrament, can be a part of our spirituality. Right at the beginning of the letter, Paul says this in verse 9 and 10, "With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his pleasure that he set forth in Christ." And what is that mystery? "As a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." Paul is saying the gospel essentially is that our eyes can be open to how God is bringing together heaven and earth, the divine and the human, just as he did in Jesus. Then in verse 17, he has another phrase that talks about being awakened or enlightened or having our eyes open. He says, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation." That's an opening of the eyes. as you come to know him. And then here's our verse. So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glory and glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. And even more specifically, he gets more specific in chapter 2, verse 4. What are our eyes supposed to be open to? What is this hope? He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this is something that our eyes are not always open to. We do not always see ourselves being made alive just as Jesus was raised from the dead. You know, we see our surroundings here, you know, a lamp or a flower or a tea kettle or whatever it is, or another person. We don't usually see ourselves as being seated alongside the risen Christ in the heavenly throne room. And yet that's what Paul is saying. We need to have our eyes awakened to this reality that there is more to this world than what we see with the eyes of our bodies. We need to see with the eyes of our hearts. In chapter 3, he talks about himself as someone who, it's his whole ministry, it's his whole job to help people's eyes be open. He says, for surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words. And so he's saying, his job is to make the mystery of God known, to reveal it to the world. And what was that mystery? He talked about in chapter 2. It's the bringing together of all peoples in the love of Christ. And then at the end of chapter 3, we have one of the most beautiful prayers in the scriptures, in my opinion. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Every family, again, bringing together. And I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend, again, to see and to know with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then in chapter 5, we get to this series of verses that we already read, that he says, everything that is exposed by light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. And so Paul is saying, you know, what's going on in the world is not always obvious to us. There are things even that may seem obviously wrong or bad, and God is somehow moving in them. It seemed to many people that Jesus dying on the cross was the proof that God wasn't in him, that God wasn't at work in Jesus. And yet, with the eyes of faith, we can see that the crucified one is God, the love of God who gave himself for us to redeem us and to make us new and to bring us alive through him, right? So those are things that we can see only with the eyes of our heart open. And then there's this call, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That there is this sense in which we are asleep, that we are not aware of what God is doing, of how God is moving in the world, and that there is this awakening that must happen in us for us to truly appreciate and participate in what God is doing. And this awakening is an opening, this opening of our eyes is a lifelong process. It's something that's renewed every morning. It is not just the moment when we first believe in Jesus that all of a sudden we can see all these things. That moment can be a powerful moment. It can be a radical shift in our lives, and many people have testified to that. But if it stops there, then we're not really getting what God is doing in us. This awakening of ourselves from sleep is an ongoing, lifelong process. We should also be aware that it is not always a comforting or happy seeing. To have our sin, to have the darkness in us exposed by the light, this is an uncomfortable thing. To have some of the stories that we've grown up believing exposed as having some things that aren't of God in them, that can be, those can be hard awakenings. It is painful to have ourselves exposed to the one who is perfect truth and holiness and goodness. I was talking to a friend of mine this week who grew up in Virginia, and he grew up in a town where there was a statue of Robert E. Lee, there was a high school named after Jefferson Davis, and he said, I grew up with these stories that Robert E. Lee was this benevolent slave owner, were his words. And these Confederate soldiers were freedom fighters. They were protecting us. And he said, it's been really hard for me to read more history and to relearn these myths and these stories that I grew up with and to unlearn some of the things that weren't true and to have to grapple with how these stories, you know, are a part of me. So that's been a really hard process. That's an example of, you know, when something is brought to light, when we wake up. How many of you wake up and you think, oh, what a wonderful day? You know, some days we might have that, but other days we're like, oh my gosh, what is, you know, we have, it's hard for us to wake up. It's hard for us to open our eyes sometimes. I know many of us grew up with this story of Christopher Columbus as this brave explorer hero who stood up to ignorance and said, no, the world is round, and sailed over here and sailed the ocean blue and began this new world. And it can be painful for us to hear that, you know, this guy actually committed some serious atrocities against indigenous peoples in the Americas. And not only that, but he almost initiated centuries of atrocities that European settlers would commit against the indigenous tribes in this land. And that can be hard for us to grapple with this story and say, oh my goodness, this maybe wasn't the whole story. Maybe this is not something I should, you know, be building my life around, or maybe I need to rethink what it means to be a hero or brave, for that matter. When the stories that we have lived by are exposed and brought to light, it oftentimes, almost always, brings discomfort. And so most of us, you know, we may use our coffee in the morning or our tea to open our eyes, to help us to open our eyes to the things of the day. But we also, many of us, want to close our eyes to the suffering in our own lives and in the world, and the corruption in our own lives and in the world, and the false narratives, not just that are being told by other people, but that are being believed deep down. Maybe we grew up with ideas about what it means to be a family, or what it means to be a man or a woman, or what it means to be a good citizen, or, you know, all of these stories that God wants us to re-examine and say, you know what, I have a better story for you. The gospel, the good news, the call of it, the invitation of it is, awake, sleeper. Rise from the dead. This is a hard process. Anyone, if you wake up in the morning, you know it can be a hard process to wake from deep slumber. But he says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And that's important for all of us as we do this work of having what's invisible be exposed, these false narratives or these half-truths, you know, or these things in the world and in our lives that are hard to face. We need to know that the one who is opening our eyes, the one who is waking us up, even if it's through unexpected people and groups, and even if it feels uncomfortable or painful at the time, the one who is waking us up and opening our eyes is the one who loves us more than we could possibly imagine. It's the one whose story is far more merciful and true and good than the stories that we have been told, and whose truth, though it can be painful, will indeed set us free. And so when we get our coffee in the morning and have our cup of tea in the morning, that can be a time where we're saying, God, I don't just need to be awake for all the things on my list today. I want to be awake to you and to what you are doing and to how you are moving in and through and around me. We want to take a sip of our tea and say, God, make me like Jacob, who even when the eyes of his body were closed, the eyes of his heart were open to see how heaven and earth were connected. And so when he woke up, he said, surely God is in this place and I didn't even know it. We want to have those experiences. When we sip our coffee, we want to say, God, I want to be like David, who was so fixed on his desires and covering up his sins. But when he heard the story of the prophet Nathan and had his eyes open to his own sin, was able to humbly and honestly cry out, have mercy on me, O God, for I have sinned. We want to take a sip of whatever it is we drink in the morning and say, God, I want to be like Saul, who at one time saw Jesus' followers as heretics and plagues upon his community. But at one point, his eyes were open. Even the eyes of his body became blinded, but the eyes of his heart could now see this Jesus for who Jesus really was, the giver of grace and the one who was at work in this church, in the church community. And Saul became one of those followers of Jesus. We want to sip our coffee in the morning and say, yeah, God, as hard as it may be, I want my life to be turned around. If it's true and if it's you, I want you to turn my life upside down and make me new. And so as you have your cup of coffee this morning, I want to suggest this as a prayer, or just as maybe a framework for prayer for you. We want to ask God not just to open the eyes of our bodies with this coffee or this tea, but to open the eyes of the heart of our hearts within us to see the world through God's grace and truth. We don't just want our mouths and our throats and our stomach to be warmed by these drinks, but we want our hearts to be warmed with the compassion that God has for all people. We don't just want to awaken our nerves with this caffeine. We want our whole beings to be awakened to the great adventure of learning and growing and failing and being picked up and trying again as we participate in the remaking of this world with the materials of faith, hope, and love. And so, friends, let your coffee or tea or whatever be a sacrament, much like the shocking effect of baptism, or the fulfilling effect of the bread and the cup that ushers us more fully into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus with our whole beings, mind, heart, soul, and strength. May our morning cup of coffee be a sacrament that awakens us to the love and grace and truth of God. Amen.